Good morning. Today's daf and Bava Kamma is Sadi Ches. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is only Zechin Shmuz Liva Gabriel Bashmul. We find ourselves on the bottom of Sadi Zayin Amad Aleph at the two dots. Gazal Madbe Avinistak, we're talking about theft of items or damage of items where it's not recognizable. If you look back in the Mishnah on Sadi Bava Madbe, so the Mishnah goes over a number of different scenarios in which you steal, you damage, but it's not readily presentable that you done that you have in fact done the damage. This takes us back to the fifth parak of Gittin. Fifth parak of Gittin talks about a hezek shein or nikar, damages that are not recognizable. This Mishnah is complementary to that Mishnah over there in Gittin. Just to go back over the Mishnah one more time, the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Amud Beis goes over a number of different scenarios. Let's review. The Mishnah says, Gazal behema v'hiz kina, you steal an animal and it gets old. Vadin v'hiz kina, misham kshas ha'gzela. So there you're going to steal kshas ha'gzela. So age is certainly discernible. Sorry to all of us. Age is discernible, and that is a hezek shein, and that is a hezek hanikar. And then Rav Meir on the Avadim disagree. We already spent a considerable amount of time in the Gemara going over the sheet of Rav Meir, where Rav switches around the sheet of the Chachamim to that of Rav Meir, because Rav Meir is really rooted in the idea that Kark and Avadim are one and the same, halachically one and the same, and so therefore it's just like Kark is in an exil, so Avadim, Evikanani is also in an exil as well. Okay, then the Mishnah went on, and we're reviewing the Mishnah. Gazal matbeya v'nistak. Let's say you steal a coin, and the coin gets cracked. Now, the simple pshat in the Mishnah, as I mentioned it, as I presented it yesterday, is that it's an actual physical crack in the coin. There's some actual damage in the coin. Peres v'yerkivo, if you have fruit and the fruit rot, yayin v'hechmitz, and you have wine and the wine sours into vinegar. So mishalom kshas ekzela. So that's discernible. That's something which you notice, and therefore that's something that you have to pay. And it goes, since there's a shinui, so it goes back to the time where you stole it. Madbeya v'nifsal. And then we get on to the next case of the Mishnah, where the coin that you stole, nothing changed with the coin, it's just simply no longer in circulation. Or truma v'nitmeis, or the truma becomes tamei. So again, to the visible eye, can't tell the difference between something which is tamei versus something which is tahor. The truma becomes tamea, and chametz v'avalava pesach, and it's chametz, and now pesach runs over the chametz. Though not literally, pesach is obviously a time. But in other words, you're holding on to the chametz over pesach. So now it is Chamish Avar Lava Pesach. You're not allowed to eat it. So now what's the halacha? Halacha is, you return it to him as is. The Mishnah says in all these cases, I ran over the Mishnah too fast. The Mishnah gives over more cases. Behemah v'nisavda be'avera. You steal somebody's animal and you do an aver with the animal, which means it can no longer be brought on the Mizbeach. O shenifsala me'agabe Mizbeach. Or you put a minor blemish in the animal. Really, really minute. Rashi over here goes to the example which the Gemara classically goes to, Dukin Sheba'ayin, some sort of cataract in the eye. O shahaisa yotze lisakel. Or let's say the animal becomes a Shorniskel under your care. I mean, you're a goslin, but under your care. So in all these cases, so these are all not discernible changes, and therefore you, the goslin, could just simply bring it back to the owner and say, okay, here you go. Have a nice day. I'm really sorry. I hope you forgive me. All right, Amar Rav Huna. Now with all that in mind, now that we've reviewed the Mishnah, we now turn to the Gemara Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, and here begins a sugya. The popular sugya. Gazal matbeya v'nistak, Amar Rav Huna, nistak mamash nifsal paslasa malchus. So in terms of Rav Huna reading the Mishnah, so he read the Mishnah like I read the Mishnah, or more factually correct, I read the Mishnah like Rav Huna read the Mishnah. In that when we're talking about the difference between coins that are nistak versus coins that are nifsal, the difference is physical change versus just no longer in circulation. So that's what's meant by nistak. Nistak means physical change. Nifsal means it's just no longer in circulation. It's no longer legal tender. Rav Yehuda Amar. Now Rav Yehuda says no. That's not the pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amar paslaso malchus nami haynu nistak. So as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, when it says nistak means it's no longer in circulation. So it begs a lot of questions. But first and foremost, what's the difference between nifstak and nifsal? If nistak means it's no longer in circulation, so what isn't that the same thing as nifsal? Ela hechidami nifsal she paslaso medina zuv yotze be medina acheres. So the difference is as follows. Nistak means out of circulation, period. Nobody is accepting this kind of coin anymore. Not here, not in any other country. Nifsal means not here. No longer currency is no longer good here. But if you go somewhere else, you could use it somewhere else. Okay, so that is the difference between Nistak versus Nifsal. So according to Rav Huna, Sorry, according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna was the first opinion. According to Rav Yehuda, it's not the difference between physical damage versus just no longer good. The coin's no longer good. Both are talking about cases where the coin's no longer good. It's just a question of how not good is it. In the case of Nizdak, no one's accepting it. In the case of Nifsal, some people are still accepting it, just not locally. So, Rav Chis asked Rav Huna the following question. You're saying that Nifsal is where the... you're saying that Nifsal means Pasal Machos. So the Gemara says, let's see what the Mishnah is putting that together with. It's putting together with the cases where the fruit rot and the wine becomes and the wine sours. Now, that is comparable to the government no longer accepting such a coin. And you pay Kishas Exela. So Amalei Hasam Nishtana Tam of Recha Hachalon Nishtana. So though in his defense he says as follows. Look, let's talk about a very basic difference. In the case where wine sours, in the case where the fruit rot, so there are certain sensation differences that exist, right? The taste changes, the smell changes, but when you're talking about a coin, nothing physically changes about the coin. So now we turn to our attention to Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda's opinion. Let's consider that according to you, we're talking now about where Nizdak means it's totally out of circulation. So now, Truma becoming tummy means that nobody can use it. It is similar to the government taking a coin out of circulation. Now, in the cases of Truma that becomes tummy, you simply say, here it is, enjoy. Why can't you say the same thing about coins? Here it is, enjoy. I know nobody's accepting this coin, but that's what I stole from you. That's what I'm giving back to you. So what's the difference? So the Gemara here turns its attention to recognition. When we're talking about truma that becomes tamea, so recognizably it's no different. It looks the same. Now I understand, as is the chiddush of the Mishnah, it's not the same. Prior to this, the Kohen could eat it. After this, the Kohen can no longer eat it. But when you're looking at it, it is not recognizably different. Masha Enke when it comes to the coin. Now this is kind of hard to explain. In other words, I myself struggle to understand this, but when it comes to a coin, the coin's totally out of circulation. What the Gemara is arguing now is that's recognizable. People will look at it and immediately recognize, oh, that's the old coin. That's not the new coin. That's not the one that's currently in circulation. So even though, yes, in both cases there is no actual change with the item, but in the case of the truma, you could say Hareisha Chalaf Anecha. In the case of the coin, immediately people look at it and notice right away, oh, that's the old coin. That's not the new coin. Therefore, that's a recognizable change, and that's why you cannot say Harei Shechalaf Anecha. Okay, Itmar. So far in the Mishnah, we have a clear distinction in the Mishnah between coins that are Nizdak versus coins that are Nifsal. And within that, we have a Machlokus now on Marayim between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, exactly what the definition of Nizdak and Nifsal are. Each position was challenged. Each position was defended. We continue. We're on the very bottom line of Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara continues, Itmar Amavas Chaver Alamad Beyam. Let's say... Now, literally, the words mean I lend my friend over coins. But as Rashi points out over here, it means basically as follows. You buy merchandise on credit. And in the contract, you agree that you're going to pay him back with a certain coin. Right? That's what Rashi. Rashi says it very succinctly. Rashi says, Amav is chaveru shim prakmatia. Okay, so basically now I'm buying merchandise, buying merchandise on credit. Okay, fine, I have an outstanding account receivable with you. I'll pay you back, of course. I'm sorry, account payable. So that I'll pay you back. So, Amav is chaveru amadbea, v'nifsala hamadbea. Now, in the contract it was stated, when I say contract, by the way, it could be that this is just simply verbal. I'm just, you know. But it was agreed upon that we were going to pay you back with a certain coin, and then that coin, which I agreed I was going to pay you back with, is no longer in circulation. So Rav Omer, so according to Rav, so his position is, so Rav says, okay. So it's understood that you're paying him back a coin, which is a currency. And let's use that word very literally. It has to be a currency. It has to be the kind of coin that could be spent and used as legal tender. So Rav says, you're not going to pay him with the old coins, you're only going to pay him with the new coins, and even though that wasn't stipulated as agreement, it's part of the agreement. It's understood that when you pay me back for the merchandise, you're going to give me a coin that people can use. Okay. That Shita's Rav. It's kind of easy to understand. Shmuel's position. Shmuel's position is a little more nuanced. Shmuel Amar Yachol Amar Locha. I'm sorry. Yachol Amar Lo Lechotzia Bemeshan. So Shmuel's of the opinion that no, as long as some people still accept such a coin, in other words, out in Meshan, right? Meshan was the neighboring province to that of Bavel. Gemara elsewhere speaks about Meshan. Not in the highest of terms, but anyway, as long as people can use it somewhere else, so therefore it is still a currency, even though locally not accepted, but other people can use it. Shmuel says that's good enough, and then you can pay back with that you can pay your merchandise using such a coin. So it doesn't have to be within this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel totally out of circulation. If it were totally out of circulation, it would certainly seem from both of these opinions that you cannot use an old coin. So Rav's takes a very hardline position, and that is, if it's not locally acceptable, you must pay with the new coin. And Shmuel says, no, even if it is not locally acceptable, but it's acceptable in other provinces like Meshan, so therefore you can pay. Am Rav Nachman Mistabra Milsa de Shmuel de Islay Orcha Lemezo Lemeshan. Within the opinion of Shmuel, Rav Nachman further reduces or limits his position. Even when Shmuel says that it can be used elsewhere, that's only going to be true if people go to the place of Meshan. Right? Now, when I say people, by the way, do I mean the person himself accepting the money or other people? That's not perfectly clear to me. But Rav Nachman says there has to be a path in which you can get there. Ava leifle or chalo. But if people are not going to Meshan and people are not traveling to Meshan, and you can't take the coin over to Meshan, so then no. Even though the coin could be used in Meshan, but an important part of Shmuel's position is that at least it has to be transportable to Meshan. Eisvei, Rava l'Rav Nachman. On this position of Rav Nachman's understanding of Shmuel, so the Gemara challenge is based on a Tosefta. This Tosefta talks about Meister Sheni, we know, but let's just review, even though we know it. We know that when you have almost every year of the Shemitah cycle, in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so the first Meister is Meister Rishon that goes to the Levi, done. Second Meister is what's called Meister Sheni. That Meister Sheni is yours. You're going to bring it up to Yerushalayim. You're going to eat the food up in Yerushalayim. Obviously, tremendous inconvenience every time you have fruit, produce. You're going to have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take the Kedusha Meister Sheni, remove it from the fruit and move it onto money, and take the money, bring it to Yerushalayim, and buy pretty much anything you want in Yerushalayim that is consumable, and consume that food in Yerushalayim. Get the very basics of Meister Sheni. We're going to be focusing on one aspect of Meister Sheni, and that is currency. Meaning the Torah says, Vitzarta HaKesef Biyadecha, you're supposed to take the money in your hand. We know, we'll talk more about it over the course of this morning, it's got to be a minted coin, that part's clear. The word Vitzarta in the Pasuk speaks to Tzura, it has to be a minted coin. And now what we're going to be learning together is that not only does it have to be a minted coin, but where is it currency? Where is it currently current? So the Gemara goes on to, the Braisa goes on to say, So the Braisa starts off with a very simple rule. It's a Tosefta. And the Tosefta's rule is, it's got to be currency. Meaning it's got to be accepted. So Kate said, if you have money which are Kuzavis Yerushalayim. Now Kuzavios certainly sounds like Kuzav or Koziva. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says Madbiyash ben Koziva. So Vyushamitzavu. So it used to be the old minted coins of what we refer to as Bar Kochva. Rashi over here says Bar Koziva. Certainly an interesting historical note within the Braisa. Anyway, the point of the Braisa is that if it's an old Jerusalem coin, so Osha Malachim Rishonim, or it belongs to kings of days of old, so Ein Mechalalin. So you cannot use such a coin because that's an old coin, it's not currency, it's not current, and therefore you cannot use it. Ad kan divrei ha-tosefta. Now, within the Tosefta, the Gemara is going to make the following diuk. Hashal achronim dumi derishon mechalim. Now, that's only when the old coin is totally out of circulation where nobody uses it. But let's say the old coin is not totally out of circulation. Let's say it is accepted some places. So it sounds like for the Tosefta. Now, it's a diuk. but the Gemara makes it. It sounds like from the Tosefta that if it's as long as it's accepted somewhere, so then you could use it. Now, remember, Rav Nachman said within Shmuel's position that if the coin can be used elsewhere, it is acceptable, but only if you plan on going to that elsewhere. From the Braisa, the indication is that that's not true. That as long as it's accepted anywhere else, it would be a good coin to use for chila. So the Gemara says, okay, the case that Tosefta is dealing with is where the governments are not makbid one another. When you go from border to border, and when you cross borders from one government to another, so they don't particularly care. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, now as far as Shmuel's halach is concerned, where he says that the governments are makbid one on another, so the Gemara says, well, how would you ever expect to get from one to another if the governments are makbid one to another? So the Gemara says, well, it's, you don't have to be a sophisticated smuggler to get from one to another. So the Gemara says, well, they're not going to examine you. In other words, there's just kind of an understanding that don't do it. The rule is don't do it, but no one's going to examine you. So the mishkachi kapte. Now, if they happen to find it on you, so then they're going to be makpid. But there's really, it's a loose border. It's not a really highly protected border. So the Gemara says that's the case in which Shmuel was dealing with. Okay. So far, where do we stand right now? We're discussing using a coin that is not totally out of circulation, but provincially out of circulation. So again, according to Rav, just simply unacceptable. Rav says that if you buy merchandise on credit and you're paying back, you must use a coin that is currently in circulation locally. According to Shmuel, no, it doesn't have to be a coin in local circulation, even if it's accepted elsewhere. But Rav Nachman within Shmuel says, but it has to be that you have access to get to that elsewhere. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Similar, we're learning more brises about Meister Sheni. Ein Michal Namal Shokam Vehein Bebavel Vishel Bavel Vehein Kan. I'm sorry, Vehein Kan Shabal. I'm sorry, Vehein Kan. Okay, so the brisa once again talks more about what coins you can and cannot use in terms of chilul, in terms of deconsecrating the kedusha from your Meister Sheni, Yesheni onto the coin. So let's say the first case in the Braisa is where your Mechala Amani Shalkan, the Heim Bebavel, where currently you are. Yeah, take a look at Rashi. Okay, Rashi over here writes, "Ein mechalim be meiser sheni al mal shalkan Yerushalayim v'hamaz v'habavlim v'habavlim bebava." So this is a very interesting halacha, right? The money is Yerushalayim money, and by the way, that's your destination. That's where you're going.
Right.
But you currently are in Bavel.
And that currency is not good in Bavel.
Right, and the currency is not accepted in Bavel. Now, hold the miyad sham. So even though you're going to go to Yerushalayim, and you're going to spend the money in Yerushalayim, that coin is just simply not acceptable to be mechala. Now, Rashi goes on to say, "Dibi'inan matsui biyadecha v'leka." In other words, in order for the currency to be mechulal, it has to be immediately usable. And since this money is not used here in Bavel, therefore you can't use it. V'lo al shal Bavel v'hein b'kan b'Yerushalayim v'aperos. I'm sorry, Bekan B'Yerushalayim. And similarly, let's say you are now in Yerushalayim, you're using Bavel money, that's also not good. Now, as far as the fruit is concerned, remember, this goes back to a number of discussions throughout the Gemara, it doesn't really matter where the fruit happens to be, meaning you don't have to be physically next to your fruit in order to do chilol. You could do chilol even though you're here and your fruit could be in another totally different location. What is clear, says Rashi, within the Gemara, within this Braisa, is that if you are currently in Bavel, even though you're using Yerushalayim money, that's no good. So now, you're certainly going to Yerushalayim, meaning that's exactly where your destination is. And you're using Yerushalayim money, so you know that even though currently, right now, I'm in Bavel, and I cannot use this money over here, but I'm going to Yerushalayim, and therefore, this is a classic example of, we are heading where the money is acceptable, And yet the Braisa says that's not good. So the Gemara now, obviously this serves as a challenge to Rav Nachman and his understanding within Shmuel. And the truth of the matter is, even without Rav Nachman's understanding within Shmuel, it's a challenge on Shmuel. So the Gemara says...
Is it impossible to redeem
then? Huh?
Does it make it impossible to redeem if you can't use bubble money? Can't use
there seems to be some sort of universal currency. Otherwise your question is bothered me as well. Meaning then how do you go through the process? So, v'shalbava v'hein kan, shalbava v'hein babav mechalan, ketani miyas ein mechalan amal shakan v'hein babava, av agab desofa lamesik lahasam. So, ha'achab b'may skin. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Kishamachios makvidu zu'alzu. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about where the governments are very restrictive over one another. And that means then that you simply cannot bring the currency, your local currency, to another location. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. If it is Babylonian money and you happen to be in Bavel. So granted, the money is currently good. But where are you going with that money? Right? In other words, you have to take the money to Yerushalayim, you have to spend Yerushalayim, but you're not getting that money to Yerushalayim if we're talking about a case where the governments are makbid zu'alzu. So lamai chazu, chazu dezavim bu behemo masik Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, well, if you're in Bavel and you're using a local currency, so what? Here's what you'll do. What you'll do is you won't bring the money to Yerushalayim. You can't bring the money to Yerushalayim. The border will not allow you to do that. What you'll do is you'll buy the animal here and you'll bring the animal to Yerushalayim, which just from a practical standpoint kind of defeated the whole purpose of Chilo. I mean, the whole purpose of Chilo was so that you can just bring the money. But in this construct scenario that we're discussing, that's just simply not a possibility. So at least what it allows you to do is basically hold the money for some time, and then when you're ready to go to Yerushalayim, you'll buy your animal here, and then you'll bring the animal to Yerushalayim.
People, they used to do changes.
Yeah, but we're talking right now about local money within local governments, and the governments just simply won't allow you to take money from one location to another, right? Okay.
People that travel
currently, I mean, the political climate of Argentina is changing, but under the past president, they didn't allow dollars to come to America.
Sure.
I mean, they didn't allow dollars to come out of the country. All right. So now we learned in the Braisa that they instituted that money should be used in Yerushalayim as a result of this. Amar is there lokasha. So kan bezman shiad yisol tkifa almost olam kan bezman shiad almost olam tkifa alatzman. So the Gemara says, look, there are different political climates. When the Jewish people are autonomous, so then they allowed all currencies to be accepted in Yerushalayim, and so therefore Yerushalayim was almost like an international destination. All currencies were used, but that's when the ruling government of Yerushalayim Eretz Yisrael was a Jewish one. So then they allowed all different types of currencies. However, when Yad HaUmos HaOlam HaTkifa, when other and other nationalities in charge of Yerushalayim, and then they're going to want to be protective of their own currency, so then they're going to create borders and they're going to prevent other currencies to be allowed and to be accepted within Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, so that's just simply a function of different political climates. Tanur Rabbanan, here comes a little bit of, I guess we can call it a gadata. I mean, it's a braisa. So it's, okay, so maybe somewhere in between. Eze Matbe Yerushalayim, what is the description of Matbe Yerushalayim? David Shlomo Mitzad Echad. Now, I would say a picture of David Shlomo on one side, although that is controversial, what I just said. I don't mean to be controversial. So The Tosfos, you can see on the bottom, has a discussion of whether or not you're allowed to put pictures of people on anything, meaning that there may be a general prohibition of making pictures of people. Okay, anyway, the David Shlomo, let's just say the Gemara simply, David Shlomo on one side, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh on the other side, Mitzad Acher, Veizu Matbeir Shal Avram Avinu, you know, Avram Avinu minted coins. You go through Rashi and Chumash, you'll see this. You'll see Avram Avinu minting coins, you'll see Yaakov Avinu minting coins, meaning that it becomes part of a, you're putting a stamp on location by minting a coin. So,
huh?
So there, so the right, the Gemara describes. You have a picture of an elderly on one side, and Bachar Ba'usula Mitzad Acher, and a young person and a young woman on the other side. Rashi Zakin is a Kena, right? People enjoy discussing this Rashi extensively. Rashi writes Zakin is a Kena, Avram and Sarah, meaning why not? He's minting the coin. Put a picture of himself and his wife on one side, and Bachar Ba'usula. Right, I don't know why Rashi flips it, but the Bachar Basula, Rashi says Yitzchak Varivka. It's a picture on the other side. That's Rashi's impression, right? Pun intended. Okay, hope you enjoyed it. That's Rashi's impression of what the of who they are. So again, if you take a look at the Baam Tosfos over here, he talks about this this discussion of whether or not you're allowed to print pictures. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that, or the Gemara is just simply telling over a Masorah that it had. Let's continue in the Gemara. Okay, the Rava asked the following question from Rav Chista: Amavis Chaver Alamad Beya. Vahosifu alav mahu. Okay, we're going to go back to where we started this morning, and that is buying merchandise on credit and paying back with money. So we already discussed so far this morning the obligation to pay back with a currency that's current, something that is that could be locally used. So Rav took the very hardline position. I mean, hardline. It makes the most sense that when you're paying back with money, it has to be money that is locally accepted. Shmuel says, no, it doesn't have to be locally accepted as long as it's accepted elsewhere. And Rav Nachman's understanding within Shmuel is, and people can access that location. Okay. Adkan, that takes us through already what we discussed. That's step one. That took almost the entire Amud. Now step two is we move on to the next Amud. What if the following? Let's say you're buying merchandise on credit and you're going to pay back with money, and now the weight of the money increased. Now remember, back in the good old days, your currency was based on coins, and the value of the coin was based on the metal content within the coin. Right? Nowadays, even our coins, nowadays money is more representative. Right? Certainly the bills. Right? A dollar represents money. In other words, but it's not actually something of value. It's understood to be something of value. Right? And even our coins nowadays, okay, there's something that, right, more represent than actually are. Right? Back in the good old days, all of our money used to be backed by gold, but, okay, those are the good old days. That's no longer. Anyway, in the time of the Gemara, right, this is just a universal, which is that all coins were based on its silver content, on its weight content. I said silver, remember, we just had this discussion a couple days ago. There were basically two different types of coins. There was something which was purely silver, and then there was an alloy of silver and copper. Okay, but anyway, the coins grew in size. What does that mean? It means that the minters decided to add more weight content into the coins. And so now, so let's say whatever the name of the coin was. Okay, so you're going to buy from me for 10 coins. Yes, I'll buy for you for 10 coins. Okay, give me the merchandise and I'll pay you later. And now later, when later comes around, now the coins actually grew bigger. So now is there an expectation that I'm going to pay you those now 10 new coins? When meanwhile, that's more silver than you're getting. And if you're thinking in your head, this sounds a little bit like ribbis, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. So the Gemara says, no, sin lo. Sorry, let me start again. And there's actually addition. So the response that he got is current money. Coins are a little bit bigger. And it's unfortunate, isn't it? Okay, but that's the price of doing business, and you're going to have to give now the new coin. So Amalev Afilo Kinafia. Now, even if it's increased Kinafia, okay, in a certain amount. Okay, in other words, basically he's just trying to test the answer, right? What if it's this much bigger? So Amalei in. So he says, okay, it's that much bigger. Amalei Afilu Kitartya. What if it's even that much bigger? Again, they're talking about volumes that they understood. So Rashi says Tartya is a rova kav. Okay, anyway, even if it's this much bigger, so Amalei in. He says, yeah. In other words, again, the issue over here is coins. You said you're going to pay back with 10 coins. You're paying back with 10 coins. They're bigger? Okay. So Vahaka Zilin Pere. Now the Gemara says that, wait one second. The buying power of that coin obviously is increased. Meaning go to the market. Now use the new coins. You're going to be able to buy a lot more fruit with that new coin. So it's not just a coin, it is a coin that represents more money. So I don't understand. If I'm paying back the merchandise that I bought, I'm paying back with more money. And that's reflective of the fact that when I go to the market, I can buy more fruit with that coin. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Ashi, Zer Rav Ashi. He says, from an economic standpoint, it's not that simple. Chazinan, go take a look. Imach maskif azil menakin alei. So he says, if in fact you could buy more fruit, it's a function of the fact that the coins are bigger. So then fine. So then I'll give it to you. So then you don't have to pay back the merchandise with the new coin, because yes, 10 new coins are actually more than 10 old coins. Fine. However, top of Tzadi Ches Amar Aleph. Vimach mas tara. But let's say it's just a function of market. Meaning, fruit sometimes goes up, fruit sometimes goes down. Now, yes, you'll be able to argue, as I would, that maybe the price of the fruit was influenced by the new coin. You can make that argument. But if it's a function of just simply market fluctuation, so then you cannot change the agreed terms of the price. You said you were going to pay 10 coins. You're now paying 10 coins, even though they're larger, even though those coins can buy you more fruit. That's not a function of the coin. That's a function of market changing, of market fluctuation. And so therefore, you're still going to have to pay with 10 new coins. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, you want to talk about market fluctuation, that's great. You sort of sound smart, sound like a real economist. However, ultimately, when all said and done, we agreed to pay 10 of the old coins, which was of a lesser weight. I'm paying now 10 new coins that has more weight. I'm giving him more. Effectively, I borrowed, and now when I'm paying back with more. I can't do that. And take a look at the top Rashi, not top Rashi, second Rashi on the Amud Le'inyan Ascha. Imba lehatichan velasos mehem grutos. Let's say I were to melt down the coins and now I turn it into silver. Yesh yoser menir shonim behave ribis. So now basically I'm giving him more. Isn't more constitute ribis? So the Gemara says, so Ella kihadra papa Rav Huna bread Rav Yeshua avdi uvda bezuze the indar the ig the sorry the argar damis taya ayud betamne. So the Gemara basically sets a limit, meaning if it was an exchange where it was 8 of the new coins can buy 10 of the old coins, so then there's something to if the ratio goes greater than that. Fine. So that's more, and that's more that constitutes something that you have to take into consideration, and you will adjust. But anything less than that, so then there's no need for an adjustment, and that's just simply, it's negligible in the context of ribbis. Okay. Amar Rabba. Okay, we're on Sunday Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara now is continuing its discussion. We are now going to talk about, these Gemaras are fantastic. They are really the centerpiece of a discussion in terms of what is damage, what isn't damage. Now, in terms of right and wrong, remember, don't confuse damages versus right and wrong. Meaning, in all these cases, wrong is going to be the operative word, meaning what you're doing is simply unethical. However, we're discussing it strictly from a financial standpoint of, are you financially on the hook? Do you have to pay for the damages in which you've done? That is the central discussion in our Gemara. And basically, what we're discussing is Hezek B'Yadayim versus Grama. Something where I'm physically doing the damage itself versus I'm not doing the damage, but I'm just simply causing damage to happen. So under those circumstances, as we're going to be discussing again and again over the course of these Gemaras, so that falls under the category of Grama, Grama, Menizikin, Pater. Even though you've done bad, you've done wrong, but you're not going to be financially on the hook. The Gemara starts off, Azorik Mad Be'esha Chaver Li'am Agado. So let's start off with a case which is almost going to sound unbelievable. I throw my friend's coin into the Yam HaGadol, into the great ocean, the Mediterranean. So Pater, so you're going to be exempt for doing so. So my time, Amar Hamanach Kamach, Ibai Shaklei. So the Gemara says, because what I'll say to him is as follows, look, I did not take your coin out of existence. I just moved it to another location. You can go ahead and you can pick it up and, okay, good luck. Now, v'hani mili b'tzlul. Now, this is only true if the water is clear. De kachazile, where you can see the coin. V'achurin delo kachazile lo. But if the water is dirty and you can't see the coin, so then no. So then that's not going to be a valid argument. V'hani mili. Now, this next part is going to make all this sound a lot better, meaning it's just going to be a little bit easier to digest. V'hani mili de adye aduye. Avashak le b'yade migzagazle. And then the Gemara says there, and let's also throw in another really important point, and that's the following. When we said I threw his coin, so the Gemara says that's not real a good representation of what happened. What happened is that he was holding the coin and I bumped into him, right? I hit him on the back of the elbow. And so therefore, I didn't throw it in. Yes, I caused him to throw it in, but I didn't do so myself. If I take the coin out of his hand and I throw it in, I am a goslin, and therefore I'm going to be liable, and I'm the one who has to provide the hashava. I'm going to have to return it. So therefore, the Gemara points in two really important points in this discussion. And again, let's not forget the largest point, which is we're not discussing right versus wrong. We're discussing just when you are financially liable. Number one, the Gemara says, is that it has to be that the coin is visible. If the coin is not visible, the water is dirty. So then there's no argument of go get it. Number two, once I take the coin out of his hand and throw it in, I'm a goslin, and therefore I'm financially on the hook. Mace of Rav, the Gemara challenges, Emechalan Amal Sheinam Birushusi. Once again, third time this morning, we're turning to the obligation of Chilul Maaser Sheni, where I'm going to take my Maaser Sheni and deconsecrate the Kedusha onto coins. The coin says this third brisa today has to be in my possession. Ketzad. Examples would be like this. Hayilam Mos Bekastaria O Bahar HaMelech. If let's say my coins are somewhere else. Ocean Alpha Kisoliam Hagado, or let's say my wallet fell into the ocean. So ain't mechalalin. So therefore you cannot be mechalal because the coin is not on my possession. We just learned now in this brisa, once a coin is in the ocean, that's considered no longer in my possession. So basically when I take somebody's coin and I move it into the water, I have separated the man from his coin. He is now depossessed of his coin. And so therefore, I don't understand. How can you make the argument of, oh, it's in the water, just go get it? If that's a good argument, so then by chilul, it should be good enough where it's considered that I am now still in holding of my money, and I could use it for chilul. I'm rabbish on a linear meiser, debina matzu biyadecha. So the Gemara says, meiser sheni has a different threshold. Meaning, generally in Hilchas Mamonos, if your money is in the water and you could see it, it's still in your possession. By meiser sheni, the threshold is higher based on the pasuk. The Gemara says, derachmana amar v'tzarta kesa biyadecha v'leka. The Torah says the money's got to be literally, physically in your hand, then and only then could you be podem. Okay, I often wonder, like this is a good example, where the Gemara understands that's an exception and not the rule. And over here, how does the Gemara know that this is an exception and not the rule? Why doesn't it create the binyan of? Okay, I threw out the question. I apologize for not having an answer. Amar Rabba, Hashav Marbeir Shel Chaver Pater. Okay, another case of grama. Let's say I take somebody's coin and I rub out the impression of the coin. So it's a minted coin, it's got an impression on it, and I rub it out. Okay, so I've not physically changed the coin. Now the Gemara says, "My time adahalo ava velo midi." It didn't do anything. So the Gemara now points out, "Ahadni mila demacha bekornasa utarshe ava shayfa b'shufani chesur chesra." You probably thought this as we were reading, and that is, wait one second. If I rub it out and I'm actually removing metal from the front, so how can you say I'm not doing anything? Yes. So the Gemara says, fine, we'll make the following distinction. Rubbing it out means I push in. So if by rubbing it out means I push it in, so I'm pushing the metal in, so therefore I'm defacing the coin, but not removing any of the content of the coin. So that's where the argument is, I didn't do anything. Still a coin. Masha Enkin, if I'm rubbing, meaning I'm actually defacing by rubbing off the impression, so there you can't argue that I didn't do anything. So the Gemara says such lies the distinction. Meitzav Rav, the Rav asks the following question: Ikal Aino v'sam alaz novecharsho eved yotze behem lecheros keneged Aino v'ino roe keneged az noveino shamei Aino v'yotze behem lecheros. A Gemara that we did relatively recently, about a week ago, and that Gemara talks about hit knocking off an extremity of an Eved Kenani so that he goes free. I have to physically hit him. If let's say I hit off a wall and the reverberation off the wall goes and makes the Eved Kenani deaf, so he does not go free. That's not considered hitting an extremity. So the Gemara says, basically, here's the question. It's very interesting. The question looks like this. If I hit the Eved Kenani directly on the ear, okay, and in doing so I deafen him. So what we just learned in the Braisa is that, and this is a question, meaning the answer is going to burst this bubble. But let me just present the Gemara's question as the Gemara seems to present it. if I'm hitting the Epikonani on the ear and I cause him to be deaf, so I didn't physically change him, but I made him dysfunctional. And that's considered Nezek Biyadayim. Similarly, if I go to somebody's coin and I deface the coin and I don't actually change it, meaning I just push the metal in. So defacement of the coin without removing the coin, but am I not making the coin dysfunctional? And so, if in the case of the Evi Kanani he goes free, just by merely making him dysfunctional, so am I not also going to be responsible for the coin, just by making the coin dysfunctional? That the Gemara is asking. Rabbi Latame, the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, the question assumed a certain premise, and the Gemara says, and we're changing that premise. If a son is nischarish his father, meaning does this action to his father, so that's a capital crime. Now we know, that if you hit your father, you're going to be put to death, but only if you caused a wound. And so what we're learning right now is, making somebody deaf, by definition, is causing a wound. So the Gemara says, what's going to happen is that when you hit someone in the ear, blood is going to come out. So in other words, in the question, we thought that all you're doing is creating dysfunction, but not actually physically harming the individual. What we're learning now is that's not true. That premise is wrong. That when you hit somebody, cause them to be deaf, that's a physical deformation of the person. Blood is going to be extracted. In the case where the son hits the father and causes his father to be a cheresh, that's a capital crime. In the case where an owner hits his eved kanani, causing to be a cheresh, that the eved goes free, but that's an actual physical change. Masha Enkin, if all you're doing is creating dysfunction, removing its functionality, that's not a physical change, and therefore you be pater. Amar Rabba, the Hatzarim Ozen Paraso Shechaver Pater. If I create a nick on the ear of my friend's animal, I'm going to be pater. So in other words, I really didn't do anything, but the animal now can no longer be used on the Mizbeach. So, but in other words, so I limited its functionality, even though I really didn't change the animal itself. My time apart could the basically the cow still in perfect shape. Now, yes, it's true that this animal cannot be brought on the Mizbech, but really, how many animals are being brought onto the Mizbech? It is a small percentage. So yes, I've taken away some of its functionality, but really a limited function of being brought on the Mizbech. Next. What?
If it was already designated for carbon, does that change the scenario?
Could be. I would give you a guess, and that's all it would be. Okay, Mesiv Rava. Ha'osei malach b'mechatos v'parachatos patah medina adam v'chai b'dinei shamayim. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. We also saw this Braisa, the beginning of the sixth parak of Baba Kama. Okay, we get to see it again. Let's say I go over to someone's mechatos, meaning it was water designated for paraduma, or parachatos, or the ashes of the paraduma, and I work it, disqualifying it. So now, patah medina adam v'chai b'dinei shamayim. Okay, so I am, although financially off the hook, because it's not an actual physical change in the item, it's just now that it can't be used for paraduma, so medina adam, I'm exempt. Medina shamayim, after 120 years, where you sit down with your maker, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have some words with you. So, malachu de lo minker hezeka, aval tsarim de minker hezeka, hachinamin de mechai medina adam. Gemara says, look, in the case of the mechatas and the parachatas, I didn't change it at all. There was no physical change in it. I did work with it. I put it on one side of the scale as a counterbalance for something else. I did work with it, but I didn't change it at all. That's why I'm not financially liable. But in the case where I go to my friend's animal and I clip a piece of its ear off, it can no longer be used on the Mizbeach. A, I now change its functionality. And B, I actually made a physical change in the item. So, doesn't it sound like that changing function with some physical change would make me financially liable? Amre. To this they responded, Hu adin daf ilat sarim pater. The Gemara says, no. Truth be told is that even the case where I clip the ear, I'm also going to be exempt. And as far as the Bryce is concerned, what the Bryce wanted to teach us is the following. Look, it's kind of well understood that if I don't make a physical change in an item, I'm not going to be financially liable. That's not nezek, and I won't be liable. However, you can make the argument of, yeah, but you know what? If I don't do any physical change whatsoever, it's not even morally irreprehensible or morally reprehensible. So so what the Bryce is teaching us is that no. Is that if I change function of something, even though without changing any physical anything physical about the item, that is morally reprehensible. And the Gemara says that's what the Braisa wanted to teach us, that you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim, even though the physical item has not changed whatsoever. Amar Rabba Asor v'sharusha chaver pater. Darmalei niyara kalai minach. Let's say I go over to somebody and he has a note, a bond, and I burn it. So, Medina Adam, financially I'm not liable, because what did I burn? What I burned was not something of intrinsic value, it is a note that allowed you to collect that which is owed to you. But the note itself does not have any actual value itself.
So, dollar bill is
the same. I don't know. Yeah. I hear your point. I don't know where the dollar bill stands in terms of a note versus an actual item of value. Okay, the Gemara says Matzkel of Rami Baruch Hamehechidami. We're now on the top of Tzadi Chesamud Beis. Idika Sahadi Diadamai Have Bishtar Lechtevulu Ishtar Malia. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Meaning, let's consider. Let's say the witnesses who signed on this original document know what was written in the document, and they sign on it. So therefore, let them just write up another document. Now, this part of the Gemara over here is a little bit tricky, because what are we talking about? Are we talking about witnesses who didn't see the actual action themselves? All they know is what's written on the document. So they're testifying to not the act itself, the loan itself. They're testifying to what's written on a document. Right, that's one step removed. And generally speaking, that's not edus. That's called a hearsay. Okay. And see the top Tosus on this Gemara, where he discusses that point. But for our purposes right now, again, let's just cover the Gemara kipshuto. So the Gemara says, so if you have witnesses who know what's on the document, let them rewrite the document. So the Gemara says, and if you don't have witnesses, so then how do we know what was written on the document? Meaning, can you make the argument of, well, that was my note? Well, you don't have witnesses. So the Gemara says, so Rava says, no, over here, the issue is not an issue of trust. Meaning, I agree. Now, when I say I agree, who's the I over here? Teheba Mamino. Rashi over here writes that Bal Hashtar Lesoref, right? The owner of the note says to the Sorf, Bechoma Shomer Shekacha Yakasube Viafilo Hachi Pater. There is total agreement and credibility over that which was written. It's just that he no longer has the note anymore. Okay. You see the on the side of the Gemara, on the side of Rashi, Yamsha Shlomo has another Girsa, goes the other way around. Either way, in other words, it's not an issue of what's written on the document. We all agree. It's just now a question of not having the document anymore. Am Rav Dimi Bar Chanina Had Rabba Machlok is Rav Shimon Rabbanan. So here's how the Gemara now is going to try to set it up. We have now the following scenario: I burn your note. The note does not have intrinsic value. It just simply allows me to collect. So I burn the note. So Rabbi says, putter. Again, because I didn't destroy something of value, I destroyed something that represents value. So the Gemara says, maybe this is a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabban and the Rabbi Shimon Dama Davar Gurn Lamamon Kamamon Dami Mechayev Rabban Dama Davar Gurn Lamamon Lav Kamamon Dami. And this is a question of a Davar Hagorim Lamamon. Even though it does not have any internal intrinsic worth, but it'll relieve you of a financial obligation. Rabbi Shimon says, you're Chayev, and the Chachamim say, you're Potter. And maybe Rav's statement now is predicated on this Machlokas. The Gemara immediately rejects that suggestion. Lo. Lav kamam adam lo mechayv. Maskel Rav Huna Berei, the Rav Yoshua, ima deshamasel the Rabbi Shimon, davar garon lamam kamam adam bedavar sheikaro mamon. So the Gemara says, no. This whole discussion, davar garon lamamon, is talking about something which started as something that had internal intrinsic worth, and then becomes totally devalued. I'll give you a couple examples. Kidderabba. Dama Rabba Gazal Chametz Lefnei Pesach Uva Achar V'Sarfo Ben Moed Pater Shekol Mitzuvim Alav Leva Aro La'achar HaPesach. So let's say, for example, I steal somebody's Chametz. before Pesach, and somebody comes and destroys it on Yontif, where you're supposed to, meaning that's what you're supposed to do with chametz on Pesach. So there, pater, that what shakol mitzuvin alav lavaro, everyone is obligated to destroy it. Salachra Pesach. Now, what if you do it after Pesach? Machlokes Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. So now this is the debate, and here's how the debate's going to play out. Li Rabbi Shimon damar davar gorm lamamun kamamun damichayev. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a davar gorm lamamun. Why? Because as we just learned together in our Mishnah, if the chametz was still around after Pesach, now it shouldn't be, but if it were still around after Pesach, I can go to the nigzal and say, look, sorry, here's your scotch back. Even though it is chamish avar lava Pesach, even though currently its value is zero. But since it will relieve me from having to pay back my obligation, I could say Haresha Chalafanecha. So this is what constitutes Davar Hagorm LaMamon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, somebody else were to destroy it, he'd have to pay me. Ma she'en kein, according to the Chacham, Rabban Adam Davar Hagorm LaMamon, Lavka Mamon Dami Pater. So, and according to the Chachamim, yes, it will relieve me, meaning he doesn't dispute our Mishnah, but it itself does not have any monetary value, even though it relieves me of a financial obligation, and so therefore it's not considered money, and therefore the person who destroys it is going to have to pay me. So, however, but we're talking now about a note. So the note itself never had any value, even from inception, from origination. All it did was represent money. It represented my ability to collect. But the note itself never had value. Me amrinan. So therefore, that's not the debate over here. So, in terms of burning somebody's note, Rabbi says you're pater. The Gemara tried to put this in the category of davar gorm lamamon. The Gemara segregated. The Gemara says this is not your classic scenario of davar gorm lamamon. And what we'll do tomorrow is we'll continue and we'll discuss exactly what is the principal issue in terms of destroying somebody's note.